Weekly World Economic Report on DriveTime.
That's what it is, Weekly World Economic Report on Voice of the Cape DriveTime. Coming up in today's show, what's on the menu? GDP data shows South Africa's economy has contracted by 51%. Ethiopian Airlines to offer support to South African Airways, but hang on a minute, there's some conditions attached there. U.S. trade deficit jumps to a 12-year high as the orange man faces an election. Online, a senior researcher, Department of Political Science at the University of Pretoria, Dr. Jason Misiorka. His Twitter handle, at Jason Misiorka, and our WhatsApp line, 072-238-0712. Dr. Jason Misiorka, welcome.
Thank you so much, Shafiq, for having me.
GDP data down by 51%. We've just had Stats SA online, and they've indicated to us that they traced this in their data through construction, which was down before COVID, manufacturing, which was down before COVID, and then along came COVID.
Indeed. If you remember, Shafiq, a couple of months ago, we had a discussion on when we are likely to hit rock bottom in the course of the year. And in my assessment, I remember bad as the figures or GDP figures of quarter one looked, we were really going to see the biggest impact on quarter two. The reason being that the lockdown in from March that ran for 21 days and then counting, depending on of course the different levels, which you know we're still on about 4 months after the initial full lockdown was set up. So with all of that and the economy locked in and so on, we were only going to see the impact of the lockdown and lack of economic activity in quarter two. So yes, here we are with the figures in quarter two looking really bad and severe. There's a misleading figure though that I need perhaps to correct. The 51% is an annualized rate. And what that means is that assuming that quarter one, there was between quarter one and quarter two, there was a 16% decline, 1.6. So with that decline, what Stats does, they tend to annualize that, assuming that we will have as equally bad quarter three and equally bad quarter four. So if they annualize that, then we come to about 51%. And that also assumes, that annualized rate assumes that quarter one also had a minus 16% if you compare with the base data of December. So the 51% is misleading. It doesn't necessarily mean that the economy has contracted by half. So I probably would stay away from that particular figure. As I said, it's a mathematical calculation. But the most important figure for us is the fact that we lost 16% of GDP in quarter two compared to how much we had in quarter one. And keep in mind that the economy has been declining over time. So the 16% decline recorded between quarter one and quarter two comes on the backdrop of quite a steep decline as well from towards the end of last year, between quarter four of last year and quarter one of this year. So the numbers are still bad. This does not by any means suggest that the economy is not terrible. I think it is. My assessment again is that we probably have seen the worst. Quarter three is going to look much better. It's not going to rebalance to where we were. My estimation again, and most other economies, suggest that only towards end of next year, beginning of 2022, that's when we can begin looking at economic stabilization. Otherwise, between January or December this year, last year, running all the way to end of 2021, it really is a very turbulent time as economies recover. South Africa does rely a lot on the international market. So even if economic activity in South Africa resumes, we still rely on trade. And unfortunately, borders are closed. And so we are really not out of the woods. But I do think, in my assessment, these figures are probably the worst that we will have, at least under the COVID-19 cloud. That is assuming that we don't have a wave two that leads us back to lockdown level one, level five.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem at the moment that things are returning to a new normal. I don't know whether that's the right word. Internationally, not just in South Africa, I was looking at the numbers. They do seem to be down. The green line is much higher than all the other lines. So cautiously, I think there is just a little bit of opportunity for some optimism there. But a story that's caught my attention, and I was actually wondering, to be honest with you, when this was going to happen, because Ethiopian Airlines, they've become a giant in Africa. And if they can get their footprint in South Africa, it makes them even bigger, because Johannesburg is quite an important African hub. So what do you make of it? I think there's a lot in the small print in terms of how Ethiopian Airlines offers support to South African Airways. I can't see it being financial.
Yes, of course. I mean, they are in business, Ethiopian Airlines, and you're absolutely right. They, in about 4 years in a row, they have been the roaring airline in the continent. What is interesting is that just about a decade ago, before the decline of SAA, which really started about 2007-2008, SAA, Kenya Airways, and Ethiopian Airways were really the major competitors across the continent. And SAA was alternating with Ethiopian and Kenya Airways in terms of taking the leadership position as far as market share and popularity is concerned. So, but then, of course, we've had a really bad decade for SAA, and it, you know, we're at a point of no return with significant losses. At the moment now, even with the current economic conditions in South Africa, South Africa needs to raise, the government or SAA needs to raise about $10 billion to revive SAA. That money is not available anywhere. So they've had to look to the Ethiopian Airlines, which, as you rightly point out, is really outperforming expectations. And with their market share expanding, this also would mean that they buy some shares from South African Airways. There are possibilities that there might be or revisions of the Aviation Act in South Africa might need to be done. Part of it is because the Act stipulates that there's no foreign investor who should buy or SAA should hold at least 25% shares. So it limits foreign investors from buying quite a large stake from SAA. They will probably have to revise that if they have to keep the airline afloat. What we do know, though, is that the government is not keen to shut down the airline altogether and get a new airline. And the reason being, this is partly national pride. It might be akin to an attack of a country's treasury, for example, or state house. It goes beyond just the physical destruction. It destroys the foundation of the country. And SAA, unfortunately, occupies that place as far as South Africans' national pride is concerned. So, yes, Ethiopian Airlines have indicated that they are keen to buy some shares, and the National Treasury and SAA, they've also indicated that there are about 10 other unsolicited potential shareholders who are keen to buy shares. But I think Ethiopian Airlines looks like probably the most likely candidate to buy some shares, and that means that in some of our domestic airlines, we are likely to be seeing Ethiopian Airlines logos flying from Durban to Cape Town and so on, even if it's a small print. But they are shareholders. They will have to decide whether they want that kind of granting. But yes, we will be flying South African Airways, Ethiopian Airlines domestically, partly.
Do you think this is a good thing? Because, I mean, SA Airways is looking down the barrel of a gun anyway.
My recommendation... Firstly, I think that there was possibilities. There always have been possibilities to turn SAA around. Unfortunately, and we know there's been a tug of war between a whole range of stakeholders, some arguing that we need to shut SAA down and so on. It provides a major opportunity for international trade as far as South Africa is concerned. Because keep in mind, it doesn't... SAA does not fly passengers only. There's also cargo, and that international trade is very critical. So this, for me, and I would assume and hope that I am not overreaching, but the fact that South African Airways is being bought by Ethiopian Airlines is really a reverse of role. South Africa is the hegemony, if you like, of the continent as far as the economy is concerned, and a lot else, both military and political stability as well, on a whole range of issues. And if we are going to begin retreating as far as leading the trade is concerned, this is a very worrying trend. So we've had internal systems and institutions in South Africa collapsing. And, of course, we've all been worried about that. Our international ranking has gone down. But the moment that we begin retreating from the market share within the continent and allowing countries such as Ethiopia to begin occupying our market share, not because of agreements, but because we've been incapable to maintain those market share, this might suggest perhaps the shifting economic power, if I may use that term. And it might be a small inkling, but you know, it really is like a dam. When you have a small crack, then it leads to another thing, and ultimately you realize that your market share has been fully taken. So this for me is a worrying trend as far as economic leadership for South Africa is concerned.
No, absolutely. And our final point, U.S. trade deficit jumps to a 12-year high. We're going back to the Bush era in terms of the trade deficit. But again, this is somewhat predictable.
Indeed. And the irony or the paradox of it, Shafiq, is that on one side, Trump and his administration have made a lot of noise, yelling down at the Chinese and insisting that the Chinese need to balance out their trade between the U.S. and China. So it's been really a brutal relationship between the two global giants. And one would expect that, therefore, out of all that noise and all the sanctions and so on, that some, you know, figures back that kind of diplomacy or undiplomacy up. But unfortunately, things have spun out of control. So what we are seeing here now is that the U.S. itself, regardless of all those noises from the administration, has failed to export more than they import. So they have the largest trade deficit since 2008. And what's worrying is not that we have COVID-19, but COVID-19 is global. So these are global issues. And therefore, China is still doing well under COVID-19. There is no reason why the Americans should not be doing well as far as their trade deficits are concerned. But partly, I suppose, because of poor diplomacy, we are sitting where we are now with the trade deficit significantly high. How they are going to recover that, economists predict that this is going to take another 2 or so years.
Interesting stuff indeed. Dr. Jason Misiorka, Senior Researcher, University of Pretoria. Twitter handle, @JasonMisiorka, our weekly World Economic Report. As always, great pleasure chatting. And Dr. Misiorka, same time next week, different canvas.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Shafiq, for having me.